Welcome to the Doubt Sunday School class. The text for our consideration is Romans chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. Romans chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Bless them which persecute you, is the title of today's Sunday school message, taken from Romans chapter 12 and verses 14 to 15. Romans chapter 12 verse 14 says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. D.L. Moody. So the blessedness of trials was a heart of rejoicing when he observed. He says that, how do you see the Christian in his affliction, one that is walking with God? You would see a heart of rejoicing in the midst of his affliction. In other words, although he is afflicted, but his soul is not cast down. There is a sublime joy that is in his heart. Happiness is caused by things that happen around me, D.L. Moody said. And circumstances will mar it, but joy flows right on through trouble. Joy, God's joy, flows on through the dark. Joy flows on through persecution and opposition. It is an unceasing fountain bubbling up in the heart. A secret spring of the world can't see and doesn't know anything about. This was what Hagar experienced when the Lord opened her eyes to see the well of water that she could go to and fill up the bottle and give to her dying child. It was a turning point in her life. God met with her. A secret spring the world can't see and doesn't know anything about. The Lord gives his people perpetual joy when they walk in obedience to him, walking in obedience to God. This is the comfort of every persecuted saint. The Lord is with you. Press on. Jesus suffered, endured suffering by accepting his Father's will for him, to be betrayed by Judas Iscariot, his disciple, the one with the money back, hated by Caiaphas, the high priest, and sent to die by crucifixion. He knew that it was through no fault of his own. You see, how do you go through betrayal? How was Christ able to go from Gethsemane to Calvary? He knew. He understood the pain. He understood the torment, mental, spiritual. He went through it. He endured. It was a total surrender and a quiet submission to the will of God. How is it possible to do God's will? The path of thorns, the narrow road through the narrow gate. You shuddle as you think, and yet the Lord says, this is the way to go. This is the road by which will lead you to everlasting life. This is not the broad way. This is not the popular way. But this is the way of blessing. This is the way of obedience. The prophet Isaiah recorded, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. This quiet confidence of the believer in the midst of persecution is the strength of a trusting heart. Jesus says, blessed are ye when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Jesus says it several times, blessed are ye. The writer of the epistle to the Hebrews concludes with this promise in Hebrews 13, verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men shall do unto me. I will not fear what men shall do unto me. You cannot understand what is going on, but you know that you are in harm's way. You know that danger is before you. You see not the road ahead of you. You realize that the persecution has come. But the Lord says to you that we are to boldly hang on to the Lord, that He is your helper. You will not fear what men shall do unto you. Do you have the confidence when you walk with God and you choose to follow Him and walk with Him and obey Him and do His will, and you face opposition? Well, He will send the enemy to say these words to you. Is this your experience? This is my experience. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Our Lord Jesus gave this sobering truth to His disciples. He says in John 15, verse 19b to verse 21, I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I say unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. The Lord Jesus says to us that expect persecution. In fact, when Jesus gave his first words in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, you recall, he tells us in Matthew chapter 5, the way of the life with God, the blessings of life with God. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You see, when we begin life with God, in humble contrition of heart, poverty of spirit, we enter into the kingdom of God. We mourn for our sins, and we receive God's comfort. And we learn to do and obey the will of the Lord. That is meekness, doing the will of God, willing to submit to God and His will. And the Lord says, you shall inherit the earth. That's Adam and Eve's blessing. You recall when God made them? God says, you will have dominion over all creation. You shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. When God opened your eyes, when God cleaned you, well, you have a thirst to follow God, a hunger to do the things of God, and we will be filled. He will not leave you thirsty, hungry, when you would be willing to feed upon Him. And the Lord shows us His life, His love, and we learn to love others also. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We learn to love others, show compassion to others, and we receive God's mercy in turn, God's compassion, God's blessing upon our lives. And as we are sanctified, the dross in our hearts are taken away. We are made more holy in the sight of God. We walk with God. We see God. And after all these things, you become pure in your heart. You thought that is the beginning of happiness. Yes, indeed. But what comes after? Well, verse 10 of Matthew chapter 5 says that you will be persecuted. Persecution will come. You want to live the life of a believer doing the will of God? You will be the number one target for the world, number one target for Satan. But the Lord says to you, blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And so the Lord Jesus prayed for his persecutors. He says in Luke 23:34, page 2, right at the top, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And departed his raiment and cast lots. So did Stephen, the first martyr in the early church, setting for us the example. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Bless and curse not. To be persecuted for righteousness' sake is to be persecuted for standing firm in obedience to God's word. There was a brother in Christ whose work requires him to submit bidding for to secure projects for his company. And one day, the boss gave him a photostated copy of his competitor's bid. So I was sitting with him in the in his house, and he shared what happened. He says, "My boss gave me a photostated copy of the competitor's bid and asked him to use it to secure the tender. He would just have to bid slightly higher than his competitor, and he would have won the project. But he did not. Instead, he had to resign from his company for his own testimony's sake. So, when I visited him at his home, he related to me how the Lord encouraged him when he was feeling depressed because he was jobless. He had children, young ones and old ones to feed. And he was jobless. He says, "I was in the room alone, and he knew that his mind was clear, but his emotion was weighing him down." He says, "I was going into depression. And suddenly, his young son marched into the room and sung the song he had learned in Sunday school. 'My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do.' The son ran out, sang, ran in again. It woke him out of his depression. And so we were sitting there and he related to me that incident. He said he praised God for manifesting himself to him in that moment of deepest distress as a result of standing firm for Christ. A most difficult time, mouths to feed. He knew that if he were to do the right thing, he would face the fire and he would rather go through the furnace. And he tells us that he met the Lord there in the furnace. The Lord was with him. The Lord encouraged him. The Lord helped him. The Lord gave him another job, but not without much waiting, not without much distress. It was a most crucial time where he learned to exercise his faith, to say no. But it was also the time when he experienced the strengthening power of God to help him. So he said to me, "You know, every day I go to the office, I put a Bible verse in front of me at my side, this side, that side behind me." He says, "I have no choice. So easy for me to forget. Then fear would come. I must be reminded all the time so that I will not fall. how challenging it is. But God did not forsake him. God did not forsake him. It was a high post, holding the position of general manager in a factory, just across. Difficult decision to make. But he made the decision because he knew that it was in the will of God. It was a test for him. And the Lord was there to comfort him in his distress. So may it encourage your heart that we'll be willing to walk with God and to stand firm and be willing to suffer loss, as it were, doing the right thing. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. The Christian shares the joys and woes of fellow Christians. When one in the body of Christ is afflicted, the rest of the people of God feels the pain of that brother or sister in Christ. The rest supports in whatever way would encourage and strengthen the faith of an afflicted or happy one. There is a blessed tie of Christian love that flows through the body of Christ. Right, the hymn, "Blessed be the ties that binds," was written to help us to see our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before the Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other's flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain. We shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. God's love prevails. Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. It is during those times of affliction that a friend proves himself a brother. To be there rendering comfort and support, to be there to render whatever practical help. Sometimes one's presence speaks comfort and encouragement more than any good word spoken. It does mean sacrificing some of our time, energy, and resources for our leisure and even our sleep. Solomon says in Proverbs 17:17, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." A friend loveth at all times, but a brother is born for adversity. Such a friend rejoices with his friend during the happy times and during the sad times. If you can find one or two such friends in a lifetime, wow, we made it for life. Right? One who would rejoice with you, one who would weep with you. Charles Bridges, he observed, "A friend, a sincere and hearty friend, loves at all times, not only in prosperity, but also in adversity, where false friends forsake us." Right? It's during our adversity that you find there are people who don't want to get near you. A brother who is so not only by name and blood, but by brotherly affection, is one born for adversity, was sent into the world for this, among other ends, that he might comfort and relieve his brother in his adversity. By brotherly affection, there for you. So this proverb compares a brother with a friend with a brother and shows that a friend does that freely or by choice, which a brother does by force or by obligation of nature. So the sense is that he is a friend at all times. But in adversity, he is more than all ordinary friend, even a brother. How important it is. In the time of adversity, true friends love one another at all times. Friends are not true when they are not constant and not sincere. They are those who are self-serving in their friendship. As one writer said, they will love no longer than their humor is pleased and their interest served. And therefore, their affections turn with the wind and change with the weather. This is what we call shallow friends that flies to you in summer but are gone in winter. Such friends, there is no loss of to speak of. Job saw the reality of shallow friends, relatives in the midst of the greatest trials in his life. Job 19, verse 22 to 13 to 22. He hath put my brethren far from me, and my acquaintance are verily estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed, my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in my house and my mates count me for a stranger. I'm an alien in their sight. I called my servant and he gave no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife. Though I entreated for the children's sake of my own body, yea, young children despise me. I arose and they speak against me. All my inward friends abhorred me. So close friends forsook him. His wife said to him, curse God and die. And his servant would not answer him anymore. All my inward friends appalled me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin. So he was afflicted bodily, but he lost his health. To my flesh, and I might escape with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me, have pity upon me, he said to his friends. For the hand of God hath touched me. Why do ye persecute me as God, and are not satisfied with my flesh? When the friends did not open their mouth, but lent a listening ear, they were a comfort to him. Job 2 verse 11 to 13 tells us, and when Job's three friends heard all that this evil was upon him, they came, every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamanite. For they made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off, they knew him not. They lifted up their voice and wept. They rent their clothes, every one his mantle, and sprinkled dust on their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. However, when they started judging him, that was when they caused him untold distress. May God grant us His grace to be a true friend to God's people. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Strengthen us by Thy grace and bless us with Thy truth, indeed, that we may take hold of Thy word and grant us the grace to live it for Thy own name's sake. Help us. This I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen.